Hello and welcome to the Monocle Arts Review. I'm Andrew Muller, and joining me on this week's music review is the chief rock and pop critic for The Times, Will Hodgkinson. With him, he has three albums up for discussion. The new one by Lamb Chop, that least Nashville of Nashville bands, another by electro super duo Soft Hair, and a compilation that celebrates child soul, or kiddie soul, if you will, of the 1970s. Will, welcome.
Thank you.
We are going to start with Lamb Chop, a band whose work I know well and admire, but the thing is with Lamb Chop that there is a thing they do. You've got a vague idea of what you're getting into when you stick on the new Lamb Chop record, or have you?
Well, that is why I was impressed by this one, because Lamb Chop are the last word in good songwriting, tasteful Americana. You know what Kurt Wagner, the main guy, does. It's always going to get good reviews. It's never going to sell that much. And it's always going to sell about 10,000 copies and stay there.
To the same 10,000 people who bought the previous,
exactly,
however many albums it is now.
Exactly. I'm not saying this will do any different, but the interesting thing is that it sounds like a Lamb Chop album. It sounds like his way of kind of evoking. I always think it's quite sort of grown up. It's like an adult take on relationships. So it's not like first love. It's the reality of being with someone. And, you know, that's to me, that's what he's writing about. And the interesting thing is that most of this album is electronic, which is not what he does. You know, he does acoustic, tasteful, you know. And this is an electronic album. I mean, he says that he's an East Nashville resident. He says that a lot of his neighbours are African-American. They're listening to hip-hop. And he was intrigued by the fact that this music is totally digital, very unusual in terms of its construction. And so he took inspiration from it. Having said that, this doesn't suddenly sound like, the new Lil Wayne album. I mean, it very much sounds like Lamb Chop, but it's all electronic. And this song, The Hustle, I particularly liked. I mean, it's 18 minutes long. The lyrics are the same sort of stuff that he always deals with. You know, it is kind of mature relationships, you know, where you go and, you know, how it works and how you stay with someone, all this kind of stuff. But it's kind of quite a groovy electronic, I wouldn't say exactly disco, but I don't think, you know, it's going to be a floor filler. But it's certainly in that direction.
So the thing is, I can actually imagine Lamb Chop making an amazing disco record.
Maybe, I don't know. I think it could be a disco. I mean, I think it might be a slight businessman at the disco when it comes to the dancing. But, you know, I'm glad you think that.
Well, this is The Hustle. We are not going to play all 18 minutes of it, but here is an excerpt.
I don't want to leave you ever. That's a long, long time. And if by chance that I do, would you be gone? If you speak to me in Latin, as a cloud appears in spring, undulatus aspirata.
The Hustle there by Lamb Chop from their new album FLOTUS, which stands not for First Lady of the United States, but apparently for Love Often Turns Us Still, which I think that's a bit of a stretch as an acronym goes. Is that representative? Because as you say, it's quite odd in that it's instantly identifiable as Lamb Chop. There is no other band on earth that could be, which may just be down to Kurt's voice. But it does sound a bit odder. It's a lot less organic than we, I guess, if that's the word I'm looking for, pastoral, perhaps, than we've heard before.
Rootsy.
Yeah. Rootsy,
right,
even
completely
better.
Well, that's what I found was good, because, you know, if and when someone who's got a very definite style suddenly takes an about turn into something completely different, often it feels, you know, it's got the whiff of the midlife crisis about it. It's like buying a sports car or something, you know, something which is just out of character. But somehow this didn't feel like that. Like you said, it does feel like Lamb Chop. And I think really, and Lamb Chop is, you know, is the, however many people are in that band, it, you know, it shrinks and increases. But it's Kurt Wagner's project. I think it's got a lot to do with his voice and his the way he writes lyrics. But yeah, musically, that is typical. So it's the first song, I think, is very acoustic. And then from then on, you're into this computer music, I suppose you call it.
Okay, well, that's FLOTUS by Lamb Chop. It's out now on City Slang, and I, for one, am looking forward very much to hearing the rest of that. Let's move on now to Soft Hair. They are, supergroup seems like the wrong word because there's only two of them, but introduce them. Introduce Soft Hair and its constituent parts.
it's a supergroup made up of people who, you know, well, they may be super, but you certainly never heard, most likely never heard of them. Conan Moccasin is a New Zealander. He's made a handful of albums already, and they sort of straddle the line between psychedelic, indie, and sort of modern R&B, you know, whatever that means these days. But it's this kind of slow, syrupy, unusual, sort of slightly creepy element to his music. And then he's teamed up with this guy called Sam Dust, who used to be in an indie band called Late of the Pier. He's a British guy. I think he now lives in rural Wales. And Soft Hair is this kind of... there's something rather disturbing about it, to be honest with you. They're kind of presenting themselves as these sex symbols, except they're sort of weedy indie boys who, you know, are definitely not, you know, anyone's idea of, you know, sort of Charles Atlas types.
Steady on, I used to be a weedy indie boy.
You're talking to one. I think we're in common company here, it's fine. But there's something very, it's very tongue-in-cheek, I think. I mean, essentially, it has got a side project feel to it in the sense they're just having fun. But especially Conan Moccasin, he's got this ability to create this kind of really... there's something very sleazy in a way that you can't quite put your finger on. It's quite effeminate, but it's not necessarily camp. It's quite sensual in a way that you don't find... I personally don't find particularly attractive. But at the same time...
So what was it that beguiled or at least intrigued you about this?
I couldn't work it out. Okay. That's what it
is. That's actually a really interesting answer. And because I'm always fascinated by those records as well, where you sit there... it's that thing where you kind of keep listening to it thinking, do I like this?
Exactly.
I'm not actually sure if I'm enjoying this. But
exactly.
Weirdly, I'm listening to it again.
You get drawn back to it, exactly. That's the thing it had for me. I mean, you know, it's got a cover of them sort of semi-naked with a giant snake around them. It's all kind of, you know, I don't know, the fall of the garden in the Garden of Eden or something. But it's definitely, there's a definitely rather kind of... disturbing element to Soft Hair.
Okay, well, let's hear a bit of it, because that is quite an intriguing build-up. This is Lying Has to Stop by Soft Hair.
You'll find there's never any time for babes and wine. You lie, you never ever change and say
Lying Has to Stop by Soft Hair. What that sounds like to me is, I don't know if you or indeed many of our listeners are doing that thing of watching BBC4's contemporaneous repeats of Top of the Pops, which are now up to the early 80s. That sounds like a song you hear in a 1982 Top of the Pops by some act you didn't hear of at the time and who sank without trace and were never heard from again, that you just spend 3 minutes late at night watching going, what the hell is this?
No, it's definitely got that element to it. To be fair, there's an element to it which is quite sort of hipster fashionable. But having said that, they're still interesting and creative, and, you know, there's something odd going on there, which that was what intrigued me. I mean, there's a line in there which says something like, I'll never touch your bum, but I like to watch you run, which just sounds wrong in every level. And there's things like that.
It's a fairly dodgy rhyme as well, in fact.
Yeah, it's terrible, yeah. The whole thing is, I mean, it's definitely got the feeling of a side project, but at the same time, it's just got something. And I can't, and like I said, because I can't put my finger on it, that's why it's intriguing.
Okay, fair enough. Well, Soft Hair's eponymous album out now on Domino. We're going to move on. Well, we're going to end with as well. This is a compilation called After School Special, and I guess it revisits the overlooked, forgotten, underappreciated, justly disregarded, call it what you will, largely early 70s genre of, what do they call it, kid soul, kiddie soul? The trouble is anything you put the word kiddie in front of
sounds bad.
It sounds bad. But what was it?
It's totally innocent. It's basically soul music made by kids in the wake of the Jackson 5.
When presumably in that way the music business does, the Jackson 5 were a huge hit, so everybody said, go out and get me a Jackson 5.
You know what? It wasn't exactly that. It was Jackson 5 was so big, you've got to remember that they were on children's television. They had their own cartoon. So the impact was massive. And what this was it's all African-American kids, and mostly they were sort of school projects. A lot of them would be set up by the teachers. A lot of them would be set up by youth clubs as a good thing to do. And some of the bands are just, you know, kids themselves who are inspired. And so it was, I think the two key inspirations were James Brown, who was seen then as, you know, not just a great musician, but a very aspirational character. You know, it was all about staying in school, working hard, don't take drugs, don't fall into traps, all that kind of stuff. And the Jackson 5, you know, mainly because of Michael Jackson at the age of 5 or 6, however incredibly young he was just, you know, it was the impact on America was absolutely massive. So the inspiration wasn't so much from record companies, although I'm sure there was an element of that. I think it was really from the communities themselves. And, I mean, some of the songs are hilarious. There's one called James Brown, which is just eulogising him. And it turns out that it was an elementary school teacher in upstate New York who was behind it. And I think she's called Nancy Dupree. And she just inspired the kids. You know, she said, well, forget about learning your scales. Let's write a song about this wonderful guy.
And across the compilation, what is the quality generally like? Are there some great lost classics on here?
They are primitive and innocent, and it's like if you find American garage bands appealing, you know, it's the same kind of thing. If you like that purity,
this is the equivalent of those, or I guess a companion to those Nuggets compilations,
exactly,
or something.
It's like that. These are kids. So, I mean, often the musicality is good, but generally it's pretty simple and straightforward. And it's got, you know, they're kids, they've learned a few instruments, and they've got, you know, normally a very simple idea for a song, whether it's, you know, but there's, for example, there's a version of Gil Scott Heron's The Revolution That Will Be Televised by a 10-year-old. You know, so there's some interesting...
I haven't heard that, but I find it equally easy to imagine it being absolutely brilliant and completely bloody dreadful.
Well, it's fantastic because you just feel that he can't understand the meaning of the lyrics. But also the other thing, this was the era of the Black Panthers, and the Black Panthers, as well as being this kind of revolutionary force, were very community minded, and they would set up these youth clubs and get the kids inspired. And so, you know, that was a big element too. So, you know, I find it just fascinating. I think historically it's really interesting.
The artist of this compilation you've picked on is the Bethlehem Center Children's Choir. Why them?
Because it's a song called I'm a Special Kid, and I think when you hear the lyrics, you'll feel the force of parents and teachers encouraging kids to be special kids in the way that parents and teachers would like them to be, as opposed to special kids as in the way that, you know, naughty kids would like to be special.
Okay, well, let's hear it. This is I'm a Special Kid by the Bethlehem Center Children's Choir.
I'm a kid.
I'm a kid.
I'm a kid.
I'm a kid.
I'm a special kid.
I'm a special kid.
I have special things that I do.
I have special things that I do.
Like cleaning my room. And washing dishes. Going to school. And doing my homework. I'm a kid.
I'm a kid.
I'm a kid.
I'm a kid.
I'm a special kid.
I'm a special kid.
I have special places that I go.
I'm a Special Kid by the Bethlehem Center Children's Choir. The trouble is, in the 21st century context, you can't hear that without imagine Eric Cartman kind of blundering into shot from stage left and just sort of screeching various imprecations at what the hell is going on.
Exactly.
Here.
Exactly. But he didn't make it to the recording studio. So I just think they're so innocent, and there's something so kind of encouraging about it all. You know, it's just that most of the songs are like that. They're very straightforward. There's some message. And you feel that it's, you know, it's just kind of upbeat.
Do any of them manage to sneak a subversive subtext in there at all, apart from the one channeling Gil Scott Heron and hat off to that kid? I wonder if he went on to great things.
Yeah, I don't know what happened to him. The Revolution Will Not Be Televised is the most, you know, the sort of most revolutionary. I think there's some messages that white America would not have approved of at the time. You know, there's definitely a very strong Black Panther influence, very strong, you could almost say communist feel to some of these songs. But certainly it's not, no, I mean, they're mainly songs, you know, don't take drugs, go to school, study, that kind of thing.
It sounds terrific. After School Special, the 1-2-3s of Kid Soul is out now on the Numero Group. And that brings us to the end of today's show. Thanks to my guest, Will Hodgkinson. You have been listening to the Monocle Arts Review with me, Andrew Muller. The show was produced by Holly Fisher. Join us again at the same time tomorrow when Alice Vincent will be here talking TV. But for now, it's goodbye from me, and thanks for listening.